Sourcing for innovation, making sense of the rapidly changing worlds of artificial intelligence, workforce development, and digital transformation.
Sourcing for Innovation, episode 35. My name is Adam Curtis, joined today by Josiah Hooten, solutions architect at Catalyte. Josiah, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Today, we're going to talk about ways that people can hopefully control their cloud costs. But before we dive into that, give us a little bit of introduction to yourself, what you do at Catalyte and for our clients.
So I'm a solutions architect. I work with clients, depending on their needs, around cloud migrations, cloud software development. Well, we don't stick specifically with cloud, but that's 90% of anything these days.
The three areas that we really want to think about today and where we can control some cloud costs are the areas of vendor selection, migration, and then optimization and maintenance. Those are areas where cloud costs can rise very, very quickly. But before we get into each of those specific buckets, there's, I guess, a more basic question to answer here is, what is the cost analysis that any company should be doing when deciding to move to a cloud or hybrid environment? Or is cost even a secondary concern here in this decision behind some other business critical factors?
I would say that really depends. If what you're doing is offering software as a service or something like that through the internet, then it's kind of a no-brainer to migrate to the cloud because you've got the redundancy and the power of having a giant multi-billion-dollar infrastructure out there at your avail, you know. Whereas if you're a local shop that's just maybe thinking about moving, you know, some of your integrated software that you use only locally, then there is a significant consideration about costs, because obviously with the cloud, you're paying a monthly versus locally you're paying, you know, you buy a server, set it up, and in theory, that's all you really need. But it gets a lot more complex than that when you break down the analysis.
The buy versus lease, the on-demand versus the flexibility, like those are all axes that I'm sure you could create a very detailed flowchart for a company to sort of think about, correct?
Yeah, and there's even tools. I know Microsoft with Azure, they offer a tool that helps you analyze what your business is doing and give you a cost comparison for the cloud versus local hosting.
Well, we've made the decision that we're going to move some, maybe all of our infrastructure to the cloud. So we have to pick a vendor. In that vendor selection process, you have the big names. You have your Microsoft, you have your Amazon, you have your Google, and then sort of Oracle's in the mix there, and then some other sort of more niche providers. Is it always going to be worth it to go with one of those major players, AWS or Azure? Or if not, like, what are the considerations to maybe think about a more niche cloud provider given your particular situation?
I think most of the time you're really wanting to look at what your stack is and how that matches with what their offerings are. Now, they've all gotten pretty dynamic about offering anything you want, but there's certain disadvantages to, say, like if you're primarily like running Python software and you go to Microsoft, Python's kind of, you know, I can't remember the terminology we use, but it's not really a first class citizen in that atmosphere. If you're running SQL Server and Exchange, it's kind of a no-brainer. Microsoft integrates with their Office 365 suite online. They've got Active Directory with tools where you can do local versus cloud, things like that. I think technology is a major consideration. They all fundamentally compete on costs. Another thing is your expertise, like who's, you know, the people that are working with you to do the migrations or the maintenance and et cetera, are they good at, you know, Microsoft or Azure or none of the above? Is it all greenfield? Because a lot of people, you know, SQL Server on Azure is going to look nearly identical to SQL Server in your local machine and et cetera.
Are there any sort of differences between upfront costs and contracts versus the long-term, the maintenance for different vendors that if someone, again, is new to this, is looking to make the migration, they might overlook in a contract? Are there any sort of gotchas there that you've seen?
I mean, there's licensing. You've always got to pay close attention to that. You can get credits for existing licenses. So that can save you money or cost you exponentially more, depending on what you're doing. And there's a lot of little hidden gotchas out there. The cost of the actual migration itself is obviously not insubstantial, depending on what your infrastructure is.
It's a great segue in thinking about the migration, because I think everyone thinks about it from a very technical standpoint in terms of, you know, server used to be on-prem, now it's in the cloud. But the migration itself has the people aspect to it, which I'm assuming can be one of these hidden costs or someplace that you want to control for. So talk to me a little bit about, when you're setting up a migration, what are those people, what are those planning, what are those processes that, you know, costs add up that sometimes companies forget about?
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite adages is failing to plan is planning to fail. And I think with migrations especially, you can have huge, big surprises and gotchas. And it's really tricky when you break down the cost benefit on that, because, like, you know, people don't account for the fact that they've got machines that are using electricity and office space. And, you know, you need to keep those secure. A lot of times, if you're a contractor for the government, they'll actually audit how safe your infrastructure is and things like that, which then gets shifted to data centers, which that's all turnkey. It's fundamentally built in. But yeah, putting together a solid plan, thinking about not just the cost of the people that might need to be involved, the technical expertise, but like what your methodology is. Microsoft makes their money from data.io. So you need to consider how much data you're moving. Again, their tools kind of help you break that down. Another cost I think a lot of people overlook is the cost of business downtime during those processes.
Combining here the thought of, you know, the vendor selection and then the folks that you have helping you with migration. I'm sure that Microsoft and then Amazon are going to love to throw in sort of a services package to go along with the migration. I'm always a little skeptical of the person that I'm buying from telling me how I should buy from them and sort of move along with their product. What have you found in terms of those people who are helping you with the migration? Is it better to just package that all with the vendor, or, you know, someone who's there for a third-party consultant that can look through and maybe find some areas where Microsoft or Amazon or Oracle, whoever else, wants to gloss over and just have bring you in smoothly, quote unquote, but maybe at a higher cost?
Yeah, I mean, it's tricky, because anybody's going to want to make a buck from trying to help you with this process. I don't find the expertise you'll get from, you know, a call center providing that support is very helpful. So there's, you know, advantages and disadvantages. You could try to do it yourself, but I've found, as I've been going through the Microsoft atmosphere, and all of these different providers have literally hundreds of products. You know, you can take a server that you might have on-prem that does a process once a month, like a backup type process. You migrate that and you would think, oh, I need another server, but then there's a solution that just can spin up a server for 20 minutes and take care of whatever it is you need to take care of. So those little nuanced things are really where you can get significant cost savings.
Yeah, the optimization, the maintenance, the sort of Goldilocks state is what everyone is trying to achieve, I think, when they move to the cloud, because you want to have the lowest cost possible for most of the time. But when you need to spin something up, or when you need to flex, or when you need some more capacity, that it's there for you on demand. What is the balance in finding that right in signing the initial contract or doing the initial migration? Or do you have to get into it a little bit and that part's going to come for renewal once you understand a little bit better how your business is utilizing your cloud space?
Yeah, I think confidence in the expertise of whatever resource you're using to work with your cloud infrastructure is really, really crucial, because they have to, you know what's available to optimize things. And, you know, like when you're moving, if you're moving, say, some local software, I've seen instances and I've seen instances that made the news because they had a really bad process that fundamentally locally just kind of was swept under the rug. You know, maybe the server was maxed out all the time and nobody knew or cared because it was still getting the job done. Well, when you spin up cloud resources, they can scale out automatically and add more power to take care of these processes. And that can have debilitating, even business closing levels of cost, depending on how bad your process is.
I guess timelines in general is going to be hard to say given the size of your business. But let's say for, you know, a mid-market company who's looking to move to the cloud to the first time, like what should they budget for and for costs in terms of from start to finish? And then how much of that should they factor in for, as you mentioned, like potential downtime along the way?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, that's really tricky because it totally depends on what their infrastructure existing is and how that all is set up, configured. My strong recommendation to anyone would be to do a discovery period and, you know, get your IT professionals to spend some time just planning, and that would give you a better answer. Migrations can occur pretty quickly. They have different methodologies. Again, going back to the bandwidth thing, if you're moving terabytes of data, say, you know, something that's like backup data, you can actually order physical hard drives and package them up and then ship them off, because at a certain point, it gets to be too much to even try to do through the cloud. So the time itself, typically, because, you know, we have bandwidth in such abundance, it can be pretty rapid. It's more of the planning and preparing phase that you should spend a good amount of time on, so that when you're ready to pull that trigger, you have minimal business downtime and et cetera.
And during that discovery phase, like who should be involved with that? Are we talking about, you know, senior level architects? Are we talking about like the CIO needs to be personally involved with this? Who's on the team for the discovery? And then who's on the team for the actual migration purposes here?
Yeah, I would say having a senior architect to configure and plan out the cloud hosting solution that would take over your existing infrastructure would be pretty crucial. And then, of course, you're going to want some IT professionals, and depending on what kind of software that you're hosting locally, you might want a software to senior developer on hand to take care of, you know, mitigate any problems that might pop up, which really does. You can definitely have those little leaks that don't become apparent until you try to make a cloud migration.
Yeah, I'm assuming those leaks are probably they just puddle up, to continue using this analogy, into probably a bigger cost savings than the ones that stand out to you right away, that sort of vampire effect that you have around your house with, you know, all your appliances plugged in, and that's 10 to 20% of your cost right there, and you don't even realize it. Like, what are some equivalents then in a cloud migration, or once you have, you know, cloud hosting, that sort of cut into your budget piece by piece by piece, but add up over time?
In software, there's like the data IO process, and you might have a piece of code that calls SQL Server a billion times, and locally nobody cares because it's just doing that from server to server in your intranet. But when you migrate to the cloud, you have to know and recognize that those are now separate servers and it's going in and out of both of them. So optimizing that. And then when you get into storage and things of that sort, those can be major vampires. I've seen people have backup data stored. So in the Azure cloud, you have various tiers of storage, which makes sense because you don't need immediate access to backup data. So you don't want to pay for a hard drive to be sitting there ready to run, especially a solid state drive that's going to be premium for performance in and out. So if you have your terabytes of data sitting there on the premium tier, you could be spending thousands or tens of thousands of dollars just to hold that data. And if you know what you're doing, you shift that to a cold tier where you obviously have some disadvantages to access, but it would save you a ton of money for storage. And they have that with regard to your data storage, SQL Server, your backups, et cetera.
Given that everybody is talking about AI in terms of everything now, I think I'd probably be remiss to not ask this question, but like, what effect does AI have on this whole process and on hidden costs? If you're looking to either migrate or to spin up new AI-based applications, take that very broadly into the cloud, is there like an exponential growth in cost here? Is this something that's going to just be come routine, like you would put any other application or migrate any other application into the cloud?
I would have to imagine they've got all hands on deck at every cloud provider trying to get into the AI game. You know, GPUs are crucial, and standard, you know, the kind of machine you use to host your SQL server is obviously not going to be the machine you want to run your GPU processes. And then, of course, they're also offering machine learning and things of that sort as a sort of software as a service of their own rather than a platform. And you can leverage those, but you need to make the calculation of, are those tools better or just easier? And because they're going to be more expensive.
Yeah, I have to think that at some point, the hardware is going to fall behind just in terms of a manufacturing base, the software. So you're going to have a dearth of high speed processors, high speed chips, servers, etc., that everyone wants to use to run their new fancy shiny AI applications. And that, I think, is going to be just a simple supply and demand raise on costs. But am I thinking about that right?
No, I definitely think that's correct. I mean, I think the stock price of NVIDIA is pretty telling on that. Yep. In my humble opinion, that is a advantage to cloud hosting, because you need a machine for, you know, half an hour or 2 hours or 2 days, you can spin that up. And then if, you know, you're trying another thing and it's a half a year later and the power of GPUs has gone up exponentially, you didn't buy all that hardware. You just leased it for a moment, and then you can lease it again at the next level of whatever's available.
It seems to me like this is very much a history repeating itself. If you think back to like the 60s and the 70s, the very famous story I remember is that Bill Gates is like in high school somewhere in the Seattle area, and his high school has a computer club, but their computer club is renting time on a computer, I think at Harvard or MIT or something like that. And like, that's the same thing we're going back to now with this. You have very limited resources for these high end pieces of hardware that you need. So you're just simply paying now more to rent it, to lease it, because not everybody, not every high school in America, not every mid-market company, not even Fortune 500 company can spend the money up front to get those hardware, those chips that they need.
Indeed. You see that in AI to a degree, but you definitely see that in the field of quantum computing. Yep. That's a huge one where they just lease a little bit of time on a very, very expensive piece of equipment.
At some point, the CFO is going to get involved here and want to know, like, what is the ROI? What are we actually spending here? Who should be tasked with really reviewing and reporting on the costs in a way that presents this in the best possible light? Of course, assuming that everything is running accordingly. Because if you are moving from an on-prem to a cloud, looking at a new balance sheet that way, I think is going to probably take also some education for the accounting team, for the sort of finance team, to make sure that they understand, yes, this is working. It might be a little bit more, it might be a little bit less, but here's what we're getting business value-wise. Who makes that case to them?
I think you hit the nail on the head, but there needs to be some education, because you know you don't want the same guy that tells you if your roof needs repaired to be the guy that fixes it, because you know they're gonna try to make money. That's an adage, not necessarily fair.
No, for me that's literally true. I had a tree partially fall on my house a couple weeks ago, and I've been dealing with that, so I understand that analogy way too well at this moment.
So, you know, you can count on your cloud providers. There's also third-party tools that will go in and analyze your costs and give you suggestions on spending. There's integrated tools that will help you make decisions around that too. Like, hey, you're not really using this that much. But when it comes down to it, I think it's crucial that you get at least somebody in your accounting department to get, you know, the fundamental understanding of Azure and costs and budgeting, or cloud. I shouldn't just speak to Azure, but any of the cloud hosting, they all have their billing stage, and you need to have somebody that really understands what they're looking at, but also knows how to, you know, write the checks.
You need that perfect unicorn. Josiah Hooten is solutions architect at Catalyte. Thanks for walking us through the sort of vendor selection, the migration process, and the optimization maintenance piece, and looking on how to control your cloud costs.
Thank you.